Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And we have a panel today. And I have no idea where this is going, but right before
pear-shaped.
I started, I said, well, we don't even have rails to go off of today. And here we are. Hey, Ewan, you're back. It's great to see you
again. I said
again.
I'd
How
make more
you?
Of an effort, and here I am.
I know.
Yeah, no, I've
and
done a max show this year.
I'm now doing a big show.
Yeah, I'll be back. I'm coming. I'm easing myself into it. I'm getting permission from the missus to come on the show. She says I should. She said it's good for me. So,
okay.
It is.
That's awesome. So, I'll restart the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ewan's Therapy Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim therapist.
Mate, I don't need therapy. I got vodka.
I am sitting next to Ewan's therapist in a bottle. And speaking of therapy, Muller, how are you?
I
haven't
fine,
seen
mate.
You in forever.
Well, pop the show pre-Christmas, but yeah. Yeah, I've not been well, to be honest. My health isn't great. I've got a heart condition. My left ventricle is getting tiny. And I get dizzy when I bend down. But other than that, I don't give a fuck.
Well, I'm glad you're still upright. And
If I bend down...
Now we've got an explicit tag. Let's have the first half hour on there as well, then. Don't edit.
Yeah, I just want to point out that when we have just our token Brit Ian on the show, we never have explicit tags.
No,
that's true.
And here we are, 3 minutes into the show, and already have our first F-bomb.
And Muller, you know that real friends only get upset about your illness after you're dead. Then they take the piss out of you beforehand. So,
well, yeah, I did go to my mate's funeral the other day, who died of cancer. Who you do know?
Yeah,
which was a bit sad.
Mate,
I'm a bit happy.
I buried a cousin this year, so it's like when you start burying your cousins. Moving on, because this was a light show before we started.
we
were doing well until Muller's intro. I'm really pleased to be here.
Jesus.
Okay. Now that we've gotten through the morbid part of the show,
don't die, because we can't call emergency services at the moment. Thanks to Three Network. That's your story.
Yeah. Okay. Away from the morbidity, Ian, welcome back.
Thank you.
How
very
are
much.
You? And I'm glad you survived your visit to the United States.
I have been to Vegas and I've come back again. I appear to have survived. My brain is still probably somewhere still coming back across the Atlantic. I'm just now about getting back into time sync. That's been the biggest
being
crammed into aeroplanes. I'm too fucking big to be in aeroplanes.
I've done shifts for so many years, I never get time. I never get jet lag anymore. And the key to...
Yeah, it's a one-off for me. It's a one... melatonin has helped massively.
The key is know when you want to be awake. And focus everything to back up to when you want to be awake, and then you'll never get jet lag again.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like that. So it looks like I'm going back next year for another dose. So, yeah. But it was a lot of fun.
Mate, you won't be the first person to catch a dose in
Vegas. Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not, judging by. But no, it was utter madness. The strip is completely and utterly mad. And God knows what that's all about. I did go to Grand Canyon, which was kid amazing. That's beautiful beyond measure and utterly madness. And why is it wasted on Americans? and
true. Can we move it over to Europe?
Yeah,
not a chance.
We'll happily have
America is
for you.
America,
it's amazing.
America is wasted on the Americans. We have a title already.
Yeah, and
the French,
and then also
the French wasted on France as well. So it was
It's true. The old school mob Vegas, half of Vegas up in what is actually Las Vegas rather than the Strip, which that's paradise. I learned, didn't mean you, I knew then, and is utterly amazing. That's more fun than the lot. I drank beer and ate pizza in Evel Knievel's bar.
Did you see that
makes me happy.
Did you see the light show in that place up in the north part of it?
Yes, I did. The thing on the loop.
Fremont Street.
That was brilliant. Brilliant. I've got some pictures of that. Yeah, it's mad. It's brilliant. I thought that was better. That felt more in keeping. I suppose it feels a bit more Blackpool-y than it does the madness of fake Eiffel Towers and pyramids and other such goblets.
I've stayed in both of those. I've stayed in the New York, and I've stayed in the pyramid one. The New York, when you try to go on that roller coaster.
Yeah, it's great, man. I've done that. That's a great roller coaster.
Someone told me the pyramid, if you go right upstairs, the view is really eerie looking down into the...
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's... Did you got that tower where they got that thing and you sit on it and goes...
I'm mostly working, so I didn't have a lot of time. I spent much of my time in a place called Resorts World, which they did plastered with our logo as well, which was kind of nice.
Well, I went to Las Vegas twice. I used it to as a stop off to go up north and go to watch the geysers and all that stuff. And then
that's lovely.
Yeah, I did the three. Is it the going up to the up the three steps when it is where you go to Bryce Canyon and all the way up to. Yosemite.
Yeah.
I did all that.
I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that next time I go. If I go again, I get a bit of time. I'm going to look at more of the wonderful countryside, less of the flashing lights.
This podcast and all the others is sponsored by the Nevada Tourist Council.
Yes.
Go to Nevada Tourist Council, Muller shits on foreverandever.com.
Well, I went to Salt Lake City and
That was fun.
Salt Lake City. Yeah, well, I had to buy a license to drink.
You had to buy a
license. It's a funny place.
It's been a while since you went to Vegas, or to Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Was that early 1900s, Mike?
It was 2006. No, you had to buy a membership.
You had to buy a license.
You had to buy a membership to a bar.
80s.
Oh, no. I once got in an F-16 and took off from Flagstaff Airport and flew through the Grand Canyon.
That would be very cool.
That would be incredibly cool.
Yeah, no, then my license expired on Microsoft Flight Simulator. Get on with it. Jesus.
I had to buy a membership in a bar, otherwise I couldn't drink it. But much, they give you the money back anyway, buy you a drink, but
so I guess
the law at the time.
I guess Mueller fell for the trick.
Mueller,
only
totally
we Americans
fell for the
know
trick.
That one.
Yeah,
anyone can drink in Utah except the British without a license,
right?
Yeah. The people in Utah, they're still a little sore.
Come to the Bay Area, Mueller. The licenses are much cheaper.
There's some special bars just for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you what, I have been to the Bay Area, mate, and you like drive on mental cases. I was trying to find my way around the place, and they were bidding the horns behind me because I didn't know where I was going. So I was trying to get to my hotel.
Well, they drive on the right.
Yes, so was I.
Shockingly.
They've got absolutely no patience with people that have got California plates.
We have Waymo now, so you don't have to drive anymore, Mueller.
Funny enough, where did I go to in America? And I pulled into a spot. I think it was in up in Yosemite. And a woman jumped out of a scan. I got out the car and she was going on. Oh, and I went, what's the problem? She said, I thought you were Californian. I said, no, it's a hire car, mate. She said, they're mental, these Californian drivers.
You're American? Hell no, I'm from Texas.
I laugh only because that's true.
Happened
straight
on a plane.
The response.
Yeah.
I've been down your way, Jeff.
Continental flights.
You know that bread you get into some of the places? It's black. It's literally black. And it's quite nice, but it's heavy as buggery.
I don't even know the words coming out of your mouth anymore. Tom, how are you?
Yeah.
I invited him. Sorry.
I'm doing fine. I know this is the big show, not the Apple show, and all I want to say is I hate AirPods. I've decided I hate AirPods, and that's all I'm going to say. They're great when they work. They're great when they work.
Oh, yeah,
they
great
don't when always they work. But they don't always work.
So I'm understanding from that statement that actually you're on the audio of the PC that you're on, and those are actually glued in your ears and you can't get them out. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying for the second time in 3 years, my AirPods have a defect, and this time they wouldn't give me a replacement set. So the mics don't work. The speakers work, but the mics don't work anymore.
Mine don't charge properly.
Yeah, always have day one.
And the genius at the Genius Bar says, "Well, you could buy a new pair." I said, "No, I can buy a new pair."
Yeah,
I can buy a new pair of Anchor
for them too.
Thanks very much. I can buy a new pair. I hadn't thought of that.
How much for your wife?
Well, you want the girls, the women. How much for the women?
How much for your wife? I need to know by the end of the show, how much for your wife? Which film is that? Come on.
Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Only one of the greatest movies ever made.
That was a bit easy. Sorry. It was, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Rolling.
All right, it's time to bring some class to the show. Patrice, how are you?
Me? I'm bringing class.
Class and ginger.
That yes. No, I'm good. I'm good. It's been a cool week. I just got a new monitor, so I have two monitors now, which definitely does help with the show and all of that. Just realized I should have.
They're not the LG, are they? Because Muller's got a thing about LG.
No, LG is prime. No, it's actually this one is the new one is a Dell. Like surprisingly, I didn't expect that, but it's a Dell.
Dell.
Good. Yeah, they're actually good.
Doesn't surprise me at all, actually.
Dell monitors have been really good from
my Dells.
Exactly. I mean, that I didn't expect that because, like, most people probably have bad experience with Dells at work, where they buy the cheapest one you can basically legally buy, probably. Other than, like, getting it, like, oh, it fell off the truck or something. It's a good monitor. They'll be my cool thing later, so let's talk about that some other time.
Sounds great. And I'd say who has the first story for us today, but that's Ian, because he was, as they say, Johnny on the spot.
Muller's story's in there.
I put Muller's in because he hadn't got it. Yeah, I had to give it.
That's
Ian.
Ahead of me.
Right. I forgot Muller's here. All right, Muller, tell us about your story.
Well, okay. I've got to say, I didn't know where to post it, but apparently three network is down and you can't make 999 calls. And that's about all I know about it. So I'll hand over to...
Thanks for maintaining that level of quality we expect.
It went down about 4 o'clock. You couldn't make or receive calls.
Oh, I thought you meant the quality went down about 4 o'clock.
No, the whole went down at 4 o'clock.
Well, that went down about
and,
half an hour.
There's you can't even call 999. Which is serious, I think.
Yeah, no kidding.
That is serious,
to be honest.
As an ex-copper, Steve.
How popular?
I mean, how many people have got a landline?
Nobody.
Oh, I have. It's
That's because you're old.
That's because you're an artifact.
It's connect. The thing is, my landline is now connected to my router.
You're on dial-up, aren't you? Go on. You're on dial-up.
He's on
AOL.
I'm on Virgin. It's now connected to the router.
No,
so
you're not.
It's not even a proper dial-up anymore. It's
a VoIP line. Call it? VoIP.
It's now connected to my... Yeah. That's the one. Thank you. So it's not even a proper landline anymore. So if my router goes down or my internet goes down, I haven't got a landline anyway.
So how big is three? How many people are on three?
Quite a lot.
It's huge. Yeah. It's the Hutchinson network, or the WOG, yeah. isn't it? It's relatively. They're also quite a big player in the rebranded mobile carrier market too over here. So quite a few of the sort of the ones that aren't a telco are reselling three service. So there's quite a lot of people going to be. Yeah, that's the thing. I was trying to remember the name of those. Yeah, the MVNOs. So there could be more down than you'd think.
Big in data sims as well.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, because it's cheap. I mean, they're dirt cheap. So yeah, you would.
So let's predict what the press releases will say once they start figuring out what was wrong. I always love reading those stories as they emerge.
And the lies. The lies they tell.
We had a guy who loaded a file. Yeah. It was a third party.
Inevitably.
Well, I mean, they've started off with the expected statement. Yes, we're aware of an issue affecting a small percentage of voice services, and we're working hard to fix it.
Yeah. All of them.
The dog ate the homework, right?
Please accept our apologies for any inconvenience caused.
Yes.
So basically, we can't call you, Ewan.
Yeah, no, there's no telephone calls to me at all.
We do you even notice? Do you even get that many calls?
No, because I get the message that says you've got a missed call.
Okay.
Oh. It's never rang.
See?
Apparently, we lost Mueller's interest and he's wandered off. So, all right. Well,
next story then.
With that, then, Ian, why don't we move on to your story? Yeah. Because I'm guessing you actually know something about the story you're bringing.
I vaguely do, because I read the article before I started. I thought I posted the link thing. It was a good idea, you know. And so my story is about, it's one of these, I've been in the nature and the world lately. So I thought this one was quite interesting. Everest is no longer the tallest mountain in the world.
It never was.
Well, the one that we won't be measured. But yeah, what you're alluding to is completely correct. They call them inverted commas secret mountains, but you know, bollocks. But nevertheless, they're on the boundary between the African and the Pacific Ocean, and they're about 1,000 kilometers tall, 600 miles high. And the reason we can't see them, because they're down below the ocean surface, and then even then down into the mantle. So it's just interesting.
Then they're not a mountain, are they? They're a below. Trough, as in the Mariana Trench, which is 6 miles down.
But they're saying this is a deep earth mountains began apparently are a thing when they're exploring the core mantle, the actual sort of like the fabric of the planet. So
I'm going to say, I'm sitting there thinking, I can't believe you clicked that.
I think it was interesting. I fancy something a bit different tonight.
Everest not the tallest mountain, clickbait. Primark in Birmingham's the tallest structure in the world. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I didn't want to talk about any of the other stories to do with AI or Trump fiddling various things to do with TikTok. None of that's interesting. So I thought, come here, it's a bit different.
Did you know that Everest is exactly 29,000 feet above sea level, but they put 29,002 because they thought no one would believe them?
No, really?
No, I don't believe that.
The guy that did the survey, he also said that K2's higher technically. But he said that it was 29,000 feet, and they said no one's going to believe that, so they made it 29,002.
It's actually growing.
No. Well, the rift.
Everest is growing. It's growing by about 6
means that it would grow.
Yeah.
So what kind of a tape measure do you need?
A very long one
to measure Everest.
Well, you can't do tape measures on a mountain because there's a slope, of course.
Yeah.
You have to use
the geometry,
triangulation.
The sign,
yeah, there we go.
Oh, triangles.
The sign of the cosine.
You knew you'd do trig one day.
No, you pick up the mountain and then smash it, and then
turn the upside down. No.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you lay it on its side, then. Then you can just walk along the ground and measure it, right?
I have my old altimeter I used when I was skydiving. Maybe that would work.
Yeah. Actually, and they say that, probably. As you quite rightly point out, it's growing. I just thought I'd Google that one because I was interested to see. Hmm. And indeed, well, about 2 inches a year, apparently, it's gaining.
6 centimetres.
Yeah.
And do you know another thing that's disappearing? The
Mediterranean Sea.
Well, that's gone major, but the Mediterranean Sea is disappearing as well. In another few million years or so, the Mediterranean Sea will be gone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new sea that is forming in Africa, where part of the continental plate is splitting apart, getting farther and farther apart. So we have the beginning of a new sea.
Well, dude, we're all going to die.
Doomed, but all doomed.
Yeah, and river erosion is the reason why it's getting taller. So they say.
Mind you, where things go, we won't be here in a couple of thousand years. So yeah,
that black hole they found will probably wipe us out by then, so it'll be a matter.
Well, five of this panel are probably dead in 20, so.
Yeah, not wrong there.
Or less.
I hope not.
For some of us, or less.
I'll have another vodka. It's a race. Chin-chin, boys.
Okay, it is afternoon here.
Get the bourbon out, lad.
So
I need another bottle of Spirit Hound. I've been telling Clarice about Spirit Hound, and I need you to send me a bottle, and I need to pay you for it, and the shipping and all that kind of stuff.
They did a major remodel of their front end for their distillery and bought the building next door as well, which was a hardware store. It's a pretty cool place. So if you ever make it out here, we'll go to the distillery in Lyons, Colorado, and
he's still my beating heart.
I'll make sure you get a proper tour.
Right.
Gin right from the still before it's been cut. Yeah.
I really thought you said, oh, they pivoted and they're now doing, I don't know, home remodeling or something.
Yeah, everyone in town apparently was really upset when the little hardware store went out of business.
Jim Fallis.
But now they're not upset anymore because Spirit Hound.
Because they're all drunk. Yeah.
None of them could remember the hardware store.
See it before. What was it before?
Right.
Yeah, what was it?
Yeah, well, I guess the same people were upset when the location where Spirit Hound is, when the place that was there before them went out of business. It was it had been several things, but before Spirit Hound, it was a Harley Davidson shop, and it was a really weird place for a Harley Davidson shop because it's in a tiny little town that you have to go out of your way to get to. So no wonder it eventually went under.
Well,
all those people stopped complaining when they realized it was a distillery.
But you can still see all the oil stains from all the old Harleys in there, right? Because they all leak oil.
And the gin tastes slightly different.
No, but that's because the Harleys were all outside.
Oh, okay.
And
also, Harley cylinders only fire once every 100 years, so.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the dirt parking lot outside this place, the dirt is surprisingly dark.
Yeah, from all the oil. It's from Evel Knievel's Harley Davidson circling back to Mulder's story.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you did there. I've lost track. Oh, Patrice. It's now up to you.
I'm worried we'd not finish the hellos.
Class.
Who knows? I'll make this brief. So OpenAI just announced a new tool. Remember, what was it called? Rabbit, I think?
The rabbit thing
that basically could go to a website and automate things, and they sold it off as, oh, it's magic, and it's really just stupid. It was just a stupid like UI automation tool.
It's an Android box.
Something like that. It's like OpenAI is basically doing the same thing, but with AI. So there, it's a research preview currently. It's only available if you're on the $200 Pro subscription. It's also not available, I think, anywhere outside of the US. The guy Sam Altman said Europe will unfortunately take a while, so we're not getting that. But it will come.
Be consumed by the BS. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. We're smarter over here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not fun for it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it supposedly, like, I don't know, it can order your airline or train tickets, whatever, and before any final thing is like ordering something, sending an email, whatever, it will ask you to check it. So it does everything up until the point where it would actually commit to, okay, now you pay or now you send the email or whatever it is. And it will ask you. And if something goes wrong and it gets stuck or whatever, which apparently can happen, it will basically hand over to you and say, okay, now you take the reins.
And then I'm stuck.
Yes.
But you know, where do you hand over from intelligence versus just pure automation? Because this sounds like pure automation, because it's like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. It's your turn.
Yeah, it's they're using AI to use an automation tool.
Right.
That's right. All it does.
And it's not AI, it's just automation. I think you remember saying this before Christmas.
I mean, it's still using an AI model that they've trained on a bunch of websites. But then they haven't, like, it's not like, usually what you would have to do is you would basically have to go to every website and then automate that. And then you could do it. That was Rabbit, I think, did and pretended it did.
If you're training something like that in that way that you've just described, that is if this, then that.
Yeah.
That's not artificial intelligence.
No, because
it's automation.
No, because if this, then that, someone went in and basically every recipe in
coded
if this, then
it,
that
yeah.
was coded
Wrote
by
rules.
Hand. The difference here is you can give this, or supposedly if it works, you can give this tool a completely new, brand new site that it's never seen before, and it will still be able to use it.
That's I'm not comparing it to if this then that. What I'm saying is the process of what they're calling artificial intelligence is just a series of parameters that are installed prior to, and then there is reactions based on those parameters.
Not
and
really.
If it can't find the button it needs on the site that it goes to, it goes, your turn.
I think, Ewan, the difference is that what you're describing is more of a rules-based automation.
Yeah.
And with AI, you've got an engine behind it. It doesn't work like a rules-based automation. I don't know enough about it to explain it.
Exactly. It does not. It's not. I mean, it what it executes at the end is automation steps. Yes. Because it's like, okay, click this. I see a button here. Okay, I should click that. But the way it understands the service and how to use it is AI-based. Nobody trained it on using Spotify, for example, exactly, and said, okay, you have to, if you want to, I don't know, if you want to create a playlist in Spotify, you have to click this and then this and whatever. It just says, there's the internet, this is how the internet works, figure it out. And that's kind of the difference.
There's a Samsung ad. There's a Samsung ad that's running in the UK at the moment that shows a guy, a lady arranging a date with a friend.
Yeah.
It goes along the lines of find me a restaurant that's vegan and accepts dogs, and then book it. And so that's an AI set of interactions going on there.
Yeah,
allegedly.
I mean,
I don't know whether that's real or whether it's just simulated for the telly. But
I just don't want to call that AI. I think go to a website, cruise for the word dog, cruise for the word vegan.
It depends how it's implemented. It could certainly not be AI. You could do what Ewan described without AI for sure.
No, I just think in terms of the way that it searches for things, it could come back with, if someone had actually put on the website, you can shove your dog up your ass, and vegans, you're the work of the devil, it would still return.
Yeah, of course.
Yes,
but
it's not understanding context. It's looking for words.
That's the question. I mean, how do you do it? I mean, if it worked perfectly, it would be like you. I could give you a random website you have never seen before, and you would be able to use it. Yeah, that's true. Okay, bad example.
Whose pleasure is not working in this body, mate?
I could hand Jeff a random website he's never seen before, and he would be able to book something or order something. If you give that to an
because I'm not Ewan.
Exactly. If you give that to an automation tool, it will fail because it doesn't understand. If you give it to this operator, supposedly, as I said, not seen it. I don't know if it works, but that's what they're promising. It would still figure it out.
I'm going to agree it's an interim step from automation, but I don't know what you call it, but it's not AI.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's also about that. It's also about how it makes decisions. So when it comes to a website, let's say you're booking travel and you're trying to find the best route between Birmingham and Las Vegas, you could follow a simple rule-based thing, which is I want the shortest flight, the cheapest flight, you know, and optimize all these parameters. That's a very different thing than AI.
Yes. Yeah.
So who knows what's under the hood of these things? No, I suspect a lot of the crap that people say is AI is not AI.
Oh, 100%.
But what OpenAI is doing is definitely AI models and so on. I mean, that's what they're using. That's a difference to Revit, who pretended.
So if I said to you, Patrice, I'm agreeing that there's a series of stepping stones, and this isn't automation, but it's one in between automation and AI, would you disagree?
I would disagree, because what's your definition of AI?
Why am I surprised?
No, because what is your definition of AI? I mean, what is and what is not AI? The term AI has shifted all the over time. It's not general AI, but it's not AI is an umbrella term. It includes machine learning, it includes LLMs, includes a lot image like diffusion. It includes a lot of other things.
True AI, I would say, is where you can ask a natural question.
No.
I want to be in New York before 7 a.m. on Monday morning, and it sorts that for you.
That is only one aspect. Your intelligence. You can do way more than that. So I would, as I said, what is AI? AI is right now a set of different mechanisms, let's call them.
Mate,
but they're all trained. They're not programmed.
In this. And I'm doing my hair now. I'm taking this. You call me perfect and intelligent. So
that's a whole other question. What is AI? What is not AI? I mean, as I said, it's right now they're pushing and saying, okay, we have AI, but we don't have general intelligence. We don't have super intelligence. Like, there's other ways. Like, that's the word they're pushing right now and saying, oh, we need general intelligence so you can do anything.
For me, AI is when I speak in natural language and I get the result that I want, that's when I think I'll say AI is working. But moment, I'm still getting prompts from ChatGPT.
We've passed
that. I'm still getting, hang on, don't say no.
I still
have conversations with ChatGPT where it says, oh, do you want this style of response or do you want this style of response? And I'm like, okay, that's fine, because that's a preference. I get that. And it learns from that. But there is still a serious amount of learning that's got to go into it. There's still a serious amount of control and alteration that takes place 100%. After it comes out of it.
Yeah, it's not. It's a baby. It's a toddler at best, maybe. It's definitely not.
Well,
super...
I think we're also sort of confusing the definition of the engine behind it with the task that you want to do, Ewan. So the task that you described can be implemented in many ways, and some are better than others.
Yeah.
And I think the point that Patrice is making is AI is such a generalized term that has been bastardized over the last five years. Mm-hmm. You know, in our industry, we use machine learning for 10 or 15 years, and even machine learning had a million variations of how it worked. And now some people are calling what we used to call machine learning, they're calling it AI. It's not really AI.
It's just an umbrella term.
Machine learning. I'll go with that.
No, the
intermediate step is machine learning.
Technically, AI is an umbrella term. There's a lot of other things within the umbrella of AI.
Machine learning is a type of AI.
Exactly. So are LLMs. If you talk to experts in the AI field, they will not use the word AI usually. They will talk about LLMs. Yes. They will talk about
models. I'm pleased to hear that. I'm really pleased to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the difference.
It's the general public that
doesn't understand it. Let's move
on. Well, it's Kate Blanchett that uses it, let's be fair.
Who?
Oh, it's story a couple of weeks ago. You were yeah. You were there. You had to be a listener, and you're not a listener, clearly.
I think next one is Tom's story. Also, it is.
Speaking of AI.
Yes.
Oh my God!
Perfect.
I should have picked a different story. Okay. So
I'm glad you did this because you're just going to trigger you.
No, you're
going
to trigger Kate Blanchett.
I know. I don't. I think Kate Blanchett is. She might be involved in this. I'm not sure. So my story is about some researchers who have used AI to help design chips. And so we've talked a million times about, and we just did, about AI and all the goofy uses. And we're always on the outlook for AI to do actually very useful things. So these people, I forget where they're from a university somewhere, but they were working on analog design. They were trying to design RF chips. And RF chips are actually very difficult to design. They're not as deterministic as logic chips, like an NVIDIA GPU or a Apple CPU. You know, those are digital ones and zeros, very deterministic. I want to add two numbers. RF is, you create all these passive components, and the shape of them make a big difference, and how you place them, and round corners versus sharp corners, all that kind of stuff makes a difference. It's as much art as it is science. But they've used AI trained on a bunch of things. I think they created a CNN, a convolutional neural network to train it. And they basically told them what they wanted, what kind of chip they wanted, what kind of RF chip they wanted, what kind of specs they wanted. And they set this thing off, and it created designs that when you look at them, a human being would have no idea what the heck that design was. But when they tested it, it actually worked, and it worked well. So I guess my point was, I was really skeptical that anybody could use AI or a CNN to do analog chip design or RF chip design. And these guys have cracked it. Now it's research and, you know, yada, yada. You have to
sandbox, we hope.
Take that with a grain of, you have to take that with a grain of salt. If it is true, it actually has some pretty massive implications, because as we know, how long has Apple been trying to make a modem chip? You know, it's really, really hard to design these things well. It takes years of experience. And if these guys have shown a way that you can kind of push a button with some specs and get a reasonable design out, that's a pretty big deal.
Even if it's just a starting point.
Rules as a starting point.
Yeah.
You mentioned Apple's efforts to design a modem chip, and but you failed to mention how they went about it. And they said, "Hey Siri, design me a modem chip," and Siri came back and said, "Okay, playing Kate Bush."
No, what is it that Ewan always says? Here are some theaters near you.
Yeah, exactly.
Here are some theaters near you. Yeah.
Yeah, but you failed to mention Intel. I mean, Intel has been failing at their stuff for many, many years by now.
Can I just say that Apple's stuff is all based on UK technology that was because of UK government not investing in it, got exported elsewhere. I think to China, then America bought it because they said no or something like that. So
next chip. Yeah. That's next chip.
Yeah, risk.
Yeah. It was definitely a UK it should have been at least the 80s or 90s, wasn't it?
It's an old offspin. I think originally it was part of the Philips family years and years and years ago. One of the companies that got spun out of Philips. But yeah, NextChip is a mess because they're owned by Chinese.
I think it was Cambridge Electronics.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm mixing that up. But yeah, it's owned by NextChip, which is the Chinese entity. Yeah, I'm intimately familiar. One of my last things I did before I retired was try to figure out how to sell them products because they were Chinese owned and under sanctions. So it was a real mess.
Intel great job got their... tying it back to the UK. Well done. Yeah. I'm going to move us on because Ewan, you're here and you have a story.
Yeah, I mean, TikTok's been told it's got to be done unless it's sold, and Trump's given them an extra bit of time, a 75-day extension on it. And I was just looking at it because TikTok is ubiquitous. I mean, I know very few people who don't at least watch it. I learned how to build my bed upstairs from watching the TikTok video. It's a great platform. I really enjoy the content that's on it. It's excellent. I don't feel like my brain is being bent by the Chinese government at all. and yet there's this, I mean, you go back to the Senate hearings of, I'm Singaporean senator. No, I'm still Singaporean senator. No, really, I'm still Singaporean senator. and it just, I can't work out in my mind whether TikTok gives a shit.
I think I disagree with you there.
I don't think they do care. If TikTok gets banned in the United States, and I don't want to turn this into a whole political discussion. And
well, it's
yet,
a story to debate.
Say, this is performative politics. What's happening here in the U.S.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this completely is performative politics.
It's a distraction from the fact that I've been elected, but I have no policy on healthcare, no policy on finance, I have no policy on military, I have no policy on overseas foreign policy. I have no clue what I'm doing, so I'm just going to blame TikTok.
Yes. Save TikTok briefly.
It's...
Can I just say that TikTok is...
Hang on, let's see.
Ladies first. So,
no, let Miller finish now.
No, all right. TikTok is soft. It's softer. It's a way to affect people's brains. And it's a way that the Chinese and Russian government are trying to convince you that Ukraine is bad.
No,
but you can do that.
Everything's bad.
I get woodworking videos.
No, we're
not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that they're trying to use soft power to get into your brains, get into kids' brains.
I don't think they are.
War's bad. War's. Oh well, you can say
I'm
that.
I don't get any war stuff.
I get videos about.
But you're also not
in the US. I get videos about.
Well, and Mueller, even if that's true, and it may or may not be true, I'm not sure whether I believe it or not. I'm kind of on the fence about your point. But they do the exact same thing on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what's so special about TikTok?
So that it's a little bit a complex story because on one hand, I'm 100% with you. I don't know whether the problem is TikTok or not. Let's say hypothetically, the Chinese government was 100% using it to spy on everybody in US, including military personnel and whatever. Like, let's just assume that. I mean, I haven't seen proof for that, but let's say that's true. Then I would say there is a legitimate reason you could say, okay, we should ban this tool because it is being used to spy on our citizens.
If I don't think it's
true,
spying.
No, it's spying or whatever it's you. But it has the potential to spy. I mean, you have to trust the app to some extent if you're using it because you don't know what it's doing in the background. So you could, in theory, if the Chinese government was in control of it, if they would be able to do certain things and like read things that you're doing, especially on Android and whatever, they would have some way of, I mean, they could track you and all of that. So it said, if the question is, what I've not seen, there have been hints in the hearings and from people on the intelligence side that there is actually evidence that this is happening, but they're not saying. It's really hard to tell. Is that just performative and they're just pretending it's there? Because that has happened before. Or is it it's a Chinese company, we don't like China, we want our own TikTok, the US TikTok, basically, which is Meta, to win. That's the question.
I don't I don't think it's that they're spying with it. Mm. I think it's they're trying to influence people with it. So,
yeah.
I think if they, if China...
Any
if,
kind of spycraft, doesn't matter.
Well, if China, right. wants to, if China wants to invade Taiwan,
yeah.
they're going to start influencing American voters. Oh,
of course.
Taiwan's evil. Taiwan's yeah. this. Taiwan's that.
just like I mean, Facebook is doing already... it for the US right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. yeah, we can already see Russians just, doing it through.
That
just
is
to
a
answer
potential,
Thomas'
yes.
point,
yes.
I'm aware I'm not American, but I get things
Liar.
I want to. I get things I want to watch on TikTok, and I don't get things I want to watch on Instagram. Now I have done the same precursors of what I'd like to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
I favorite the same kinds of things as they do on TikTok, but constantly on Instagram, I get girls with big boobs with a flashy sequence in the middle, testing whether I can pause
right.
it or not. And I also get flat Earth stuff, which I friggin' hate because mm-hmm. flat Earthers are brainless.
yes.
I don't like any of their stuff. I don't care about any of their stuff, but it's all it shows me. Whereas TikTok shows me the things
that's
that I
interesting because
like.
I've just.
And that's where I would then divide from all
that's,
of
that's
this.
Interesting.
But I'm not American.
Because I've not. I am one of those people that's not on TikTok. It's just never appealed to. I've never bothered. But I've started using Instagram recently. And like you say, Ewan, I want to see cars, watches, other random shit. I don't particularly see any girls with jiggly boobs. I didn't ask to see girls with jiggly boobs. Why am I seeing them? You know, I'm.
Yes.
I said to my daughter, "Why am I seeing?"
Because you're demographic, mate.
Yes, I guess.
You're married.
Yeah, a demographic.
And you're in your
50s. Yeah, 50-year-old yeah. bloke. Yeah. I talked to my. I said, "Well, why do I see this shit? How can I make it go away? Because I haven't asked for this." And she's, "It's she just goes on about it being the algorithm, and it just shows you what is the most popular."
You get an unsolicited. You get an unsolicited text in Instagram saying, "I love dad bods," and I reply, "Good, because I've got two of them."
In that case, someone give TikTok a twirl then as well. Then
have you noticed Threads is doing the same? Keeps shoving stuff into Facebook.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
Threads is part
yeah,
of Meta.
Threads is Meta, but
it's part
is Meta.
It's
so
still
it
part of Instagram and Meta and
gonna,
all of it.
It's good.
And a lot of the girls, if you look at them, they're AI generated.
Yeah, they're all AI generated. It's ransomware and spam, hiding behind. Stuff like this, it's for the most part, it's basically trying to tempt you out of your credit card. That's really
exactly.
what all it's for.
So if you see all these people underneath going, "Oh, I love you, I want to be your friend," and I go, "Oh, you pricks."
can you see this 40-year-old man, or 50-year-old man?
I don't know, condition, go away.
So I think we've established that for whatever reason, TikTok has come up with a better algorithm than anybody else.
Yeah.
I think there's many people
that respond
many
to
people
what I
would,
want to see. Yeah.
Many people would agree with that. So so people like it. Now there's a question, is it a threat, some sort of a national threat because it's owned by a company that's related to an adversary? Maybe my point is China can use Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Facebook to do the same kind of influence that they do on TikTok, Mueller.
Yeah, it's at least.
And in fact, I'm sure if they're doing it on TikTok, they're doing it on Facebook.
Oh yeah, they definitely are. I'll share something in the black room from a US bloke who's great and he's really spot on and his analysis of all this shit is really good, and I'll post it later privately so you can see his stuff. What you need to go through his history though to see all of it.
I need to hear what Patrice has to say because I can tell the words about to explode out of your head. And now there's no sound from you, Patrice.
I muted myself, yeah, because of that. No, I disagree. I'll disagree with you on one point. If it was what Mueller was saying, that it's just influencing people with posts and whatever, then I would say, yeah, absolutely, because Meta is a hellhole at this point. 1,500
U.S. troops
can you mute
the
that,
US-Mexico
please?
Border.
Mueller,
let's
mute it. I was trying to post him. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Are you Chinese?
Yes, I think so. So
no,
if it,
that was that American guy.
Yeah. So if it was
ex Air Force.
If it was only the influence side, then yes, absolutely 100%. X, Meta, all the companies would be the same. But the influence that the Chinese government has is different when it comes to what they can put in the app. Because they cannot easily influence what Meta ships in their app and what data they collect and what they do. But they have legally influence because it's owned by a Chinese company. And the so-called TikTok ban is actually not a TikTok ban. It's a ban on, I think, in more broadly, Chinese-owned companies, but more specifically, ByteDance.
Right.
So it's not just TikTok.
Well, you've got to sell TikTok in the US. That's what it's saying.
Yeah. The question is, what's next? I mean, is the EU going to say, well, Meta is influencing us here, so now Meta has to be sold because it's US company. I don't know. Instagram has to be sold to a company not owned by the US now. That's, for me, the more interesting
question. I mean, that's the danger for ByteDance, because you're going to look at things like Huawei.
Yeah. Well,
the
Huawei
massive storage vendor, they were targeted by...
Yes.
And they got... And then also Kaspersky.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The other one, the AV vendor. They've got, and here it happened here as well. I mean, Kaspersky can't make a living here either, because we followed suit. So would we? I wonder. There's a question. Do you think if the Binance ban is upheld in the US, do you think they'll follow suit in the UK? Correct. Already, I know that government officials are recommended not to install TikTok on their work devices. That much I do know. That's we covered a story on that a year or so ago.
If that was a real threat, those GCHQ would be on it.
Yeah, you'd make your life, couldn't you?
And it wouldn't be an advice; it would be a mandate.
Yes. All right. I want to hear all about cool things.
Yes.
But before I hear all about cool things, Patrice, Mueller has no idea how the chat works now. Can you explain that, please?
I think I understand it, actually.
I'm not so sure I can make it simple enough. No, I can actually make it simple enough that even Mueller can use it. live.bridgetechnetwork.com. Just go there. That's where the live stream is. 7 p.m. UK time for this very show every Thursday and Fridays and tomorrow. 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. And this chat is just on the right-hand side. And if you don't like the auto-generated name, it does really cool names like Vigilant Nightingale, I see Reverend Colden, and so on. You can just click on the little purple thing up top and change your name. But if you are listening to this on the website or in your podcast player of choice, whatever that is, Spotify, Meta, I don't know what you're using, Google, whatever. We have a transcript. Head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then the friendly calendar will ask you for to click on a date. Just click on January 23rd, 2025 for today's transcript, or just any date before that if you want to look at, I don't know, September something. I don't know what was a Friday in September 2015, but whatever that was, a Friday in September 2015. If you want to pick that, have a look. What did we talk about back then?
You know what? You're right. You did describe it so simply that even Mueller should be able to understand that. So thank you. All right. Cool thing time. And, Ewan, you have the first cool thing.
It's a bit different, actually. It's North Warwickshire County Council.
Look at you. No. Civic responsibility and everything.
No, it's so my rugby club runs a thing on a Thursday called a Warm Hub, and Warwickshire County Council fund these. So they're anywhere that's got a social club or a sporting club, that kind of thing. If you turn your clubhouse over to allow old folk to come in and have a cup of tea and a slice of cake and that kind of stuff, they fund it. My rugby club does it, and they get tea and biscuits and cakes and that kind of stuff. And a guy called Danielson, who's the first team physio, comes in and does like a mobility session with them and that kind of thing. So that's funded by Warwickshire County Council, which I think is absolutely brilliant. But I found out today because I sat and had a chat with the lady that does it. They do a thing called Tea and Tech. And basically, this woman sits in on the warm hub sessions and goes around the whole borough doing them. You know she's coming. If you've got an older person and you've got a problem with your phone or your iPad or you can't get your Alexa working, you just bring it along and talk to her and she helps you with it. And I think it's a brilliant, brilliant service for old folk.
That's nice.
Sounds really good.
That's super cool.
Very cool.
I thought it was a good pick.
Very cool.
It is.
Good pick. Yeah.
That is a good pick. Yeah. All right, Ian, tell us about your cool pick. And I am not going to shame you for being late to the party.
Oh, you should late not, to the bar. Jeff. Both Patrice and not. Jeff have told me how wonderful this show was numerous times, and only because I was sat on an aeroplane with nothing else to do. I thought, oh, that's all there. Everyone's been telling me how good that is, and I watched the first episode. Ah, yes, brilliant. Utterly brilliant. It's what Star Trek was when I first started watching it all those years ago, and I loved it. So I've got busy getting a start now watching the rest of it. So what was I watching? Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Captain Pike's Adventures, as in the precursor to the original Star Trek 7, and it is wonderful. Much better than Discovery, which kind of put me off.
Well, that's a low bar. Discovery was
that
shite.
Kind of put me off.
Discovery. I loved Discovery. My favorite Star Trek.
If over.
Some bits of it I wasn't a fan of, but this is Star Trek at its finest. This is all of the things we love about Star Trek.
Really episodic, no huge story arc. There is a little bit of a theme that's going through that you can come back to each time, but each episode is its own. That's exactly what Star Trek always was. I agree 100%.
Wonderful. I should be watching more of it.
It's brilliant.
It is brilliant. Yes.
Only topped by the Orville.
I need to have a look at that one now after the treatment said Orville will have been good. And,
Orville is
and Lower Decks as well, you guys keep withering at, so I suppose you should look at that probably as well, given how much you've made this thing sound good, and it is
brilliant. Awesome. awesome pick. Okay, Patrice, your turn.
Yeah, so I tried to get the box up here, but it's heavy, so I'm not gonna. I have a new monitor. It's a Dell UltraSharp 32-inch 4K USB-C hub monitor. That's what it says on the description. But it's really good. I mean, I'm really surprised. It has an IPS black panel, which, if you're not a gamer, is really, really good because you get really nice blacks, but you still have the advantages of an IPS panel over an OLED panel that might burn in, like have your dock or whatever, your taskbar, basically burned into the monitor because it's showing it all day. So it's not expensive, which was surprised by that. It's 4K. It has everything it wants. It's really nicely built, really nicely packaged. It comes with a really heavy base. I bought like a monitor arm for it, so I didn't use that. So it's still in the box. That's why the box is so heavy. But it's just really good, really nice. Fast, has all the connectivity you want. It does have a built-in USB-C hub it's kind of like Thunderbolt. I literally just connected it to my Thunderbolt hub with that one cable, and it does everything over that one cable, like video, audio, USB, all of it. So it's actually really, really cool. And I love the
Dell
resolution.
Some
it's
of
four.
The best.
Yeah. It's 16:9, which is also important because it gives you a little bit more height. So it's 3560 by 2560, something like that. I'm probably mingling the numbers, but something like that. I mean, that's not if I could just look it up.
I clicked on your link and it's showing me a price of $3,500.
That is definitely wrong.
Maybe I did something wrong over here.
Yeah, that's definitely maybe the 49-inch one or whatever. They do have a more expensive 6K.
$919.
That sounds about right, yes. But you can find it.
It's a problem on their website. Yeah. So if you go to the link Patrice gives you, it'll show it as $919. If you click on a different size to see what the different sizes cost and click on the 32-inch again, now it's $3,779.
which is probably the 8K version or something like that.
No. I check your statement, Patrice.
Yeah. No, it's
about 600 quid UK by the looks of things, if you shop around.
3840 by 2160, by the way. That's the resolution. They do have 6K and 8K versions by now. So if you want that, need that, pretty cool. Yeah. So that's all it is. 32 inches.
Awesome.
But it's really cool. I really like it.
Awesome. All right, Tom, hit us with your cool thing.
My cool thing is kind of an older thing, too. It's the Roku Ultra. And I bought the Roku Ultra because I was laid up in bed, and I have a really old TV in that bedroom. We don't use it much. It didn't have AirPlay or anything. It's an old Samsung, I think. And even the Netflix app on it wouldn't work because it was so old. So in a panic, I bought a Roku Ultra because it was in stock at the Best Buy down the street, so my wife could go pick it up for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm picking it now because I saw that it's on sale. It's about $80 in the US now. Maybe they're planning to update it, so they're putting it on sale. But I found it to be a really good box, and I know I'll probably get a lot of hate from Apple TV people on this show, but it works really well. The apps for all the different streaming services that I use work pretty well, you know, on some streaming platforms, you know, the Netflix and so on don't make such great apps, but the Netflix app works well. The AirPlay works great. The remote is fine. It's got a bunch of free channels, a gazillion free channels. Roku, I guess, is kind of famous for that. So I think for an $80 streaming box at 4K with AirPlay, good apps for all the streaming services, it's a pretty good deal.
Cool. Excuse me. And I won't give you a hard time about getting Roku instead of an Apple TV. Whatever works best for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Muller, your turn.
I'm going to go.
I was afraid to click your link at first. But,
oh, yeah. We forgot the golden rule. Never the golden rule.
Never trust
See, because things. He wasn't named Muller, we didn't know.
I've got to say, I don't know why that's coming up like that.
That's a default one. You can click up top on the little purple thing and change it. But let's talk about your show first, and you can do that.
It's Prime Target. It's on Apple TV. Now, I got a lot of criticism of Apple TV stuff, but this one, from the first 20 minutes into the show, I was absolutely hooked. It's by the end of it, I think the first show sort of set it up. The second episode sort of set up the premise, and I'm thinking it's going to be a mega, mega show. And I'm really liking this one. I don't know about anyone else has watched it, but I think this is going to be a good one. There's a lot of stuff on Apple TV I absolutely hate, but this one is not one of them. Slow horses. I think this could be a slow horses. Honestly, that's how good I'm giving it. It's a slow horses.
It's a slow
Carry on, boys.
Wow. I have to check that one out.
Another one on the list.
Now I'm kind of like, should I even check it out? Because if Muller likes it, and he doesn't like the other shows, maybe I wouldn't like it. I'll check it out.
Else that anyone else likes.
No, jeez. I do love Slow Horses. Like, awesome show, one of my favorites. I'll check it out. I'll see it. And I mean, what you say also tracks. Like, the Apple seems to produce new shows, like where they post the first two or three episodes together, or at least they used to. So you always have to watch the first three to even get a good sense of what the show is about, because the first one might just be set up.
I'll give you the premise of the show then, because I probably haven't done that. It's a maths genius. He's looking into prime numbers, and the prime numbers are going to unlock the internet.
No spoilers.
It's in the premise of the show.
That's what I'm going to say.
I've heard about
it. And the evil USA want to break him down and stop him from doing it.
Yes.
Because it's going to break the internet.
Yes.
That's it there.
It's actually somewhat real. If you find a way to like produce or break math, then yeah, you could actually break the internet. Because encryption is based on math.
You can break math by not putting an S on the end of it. It's maths, mathematics.
And it's Lego. And
absolutely.
It's Lego.
Absolutely.
And it's Lego.
And it is Lego.
And it is
Take
Lego.
The S off Legos and stick it on the end of maths.
Look, we
not
we
in
have
German.
A letter rationing system in the United States.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we can't afford another S here.
Right. Cool. All right. I think that means it's my turn now.
Yes.
And my turn starts Legos. With this, which no, this time it's not Lego. Okay. So if you went to GitHub Universe, that conference, your badge was like this. Okay. And it's a programmable badge, and everyone started hacking their badges. Uh-huh. So after the conference, there were a bunch of badges left over. So they just started selling these. And then when they were sold out, then it was like, and that's it. And I was kind of bummed because there's a lot of people I know that would love to be able to get a hold of one of these and to be able to hack it. Because you know, it's basically a Raspberry Pi. And then it has an e-ink display. So you can put whatever you want on it. And it has like a... And you can... And yeah, so, you know, and on the back, you have a couple different ports. You can do.
Oh, cool.
So it's a very hackable Raspberry Pi project. And I picked mine up after the conference for like $12 shipped. It was stupid. But then you couldn't get them anymore. The link that I'm sharing, the company that made these for the conference, they're now making new models that anyone can buy. So you can get a new version of this. And I have the UK site in my link so that that you don't have to do any math conversions to make it work. But you can buy new versions of these now, and depending on which model you get will determine which Raspberry Pi chip is in it, but then you can buy like a whole kit where it has all the cables, and so there you go. So you can get a new version of this which ought to be even more capable than what I have because it's using a different processors. But there you go. So now you can get your own GitHub badge, programmable badge to do whatever you want with you can get just the basic thing where like what I have, which would be the badge without anything else to go with it, 24 pounds. But then you can get whole kits that have all the cables and battery packs in case you need to do stuff on the fly for like 30, 40 pounds.
That is so cool. I just shared that with someone, with my boss at work, because I was like, this will be our new badges for the next conference we go to.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, I know. I'm starting cool. to, yes. when we... things together for a yearly tech conference, and when we do that, sounds like a lot of fun because for our tech conference,
yeah.
And then when you take them home, they will be able to follow you home and identify where you live.
I work with some people that will believe that as well.
Yeah,
put air tags in.
So yeah, the big difference for me having this one, because it's one that was actually manufactured by this company for GitHub Universe. It has the GitHub logo on it. Yeah. But it is also a lot bigger because
it looks like a bit of
you know, all
like
that extra space on the back, just so you can have this on the front.
It looks like a floppy.
It does look like a floppy.
Oh, it kind of does.
Not, I don't think that is an accident.
Mm.
Huh. Yeah, well, there you go. All right, so that's That's my cool thing this week. Look at me bringing it highbrow for once. All right, so it is time to wrap up. And Ewan, tell us where people can find you.
You can find me on Blue Sky at Ewan Rankin, and you can find me on Twitter at Ewan Rankin still, or X if you want, and loads of other places. But yeah, that's me.
Awesome. And in case you have to duck out before the whole show is wrapped up,
see you soon.
Thanks for being here.
Take care.
You rock.
Thank you.
All right, see ya. All right, Muller, where can people find you?
I'm on Blue Sky as well. Muller Biker at Blue Sky, the rest of it. I've come off X for obvious reasons. There you go. That's me.
Awesome. All right. Well, now that I know you're on Blue Sky, I'll go follow you. And
I've already followed you, and you already followed me.
Oh, I did? Okay. Well, I'm so on top of it then. Go me. All right. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me at TIOABOA. I might as well say on Blue Sky too, and Threads. And otherwise, I'm in the Slack room. Same ID. You can find me there. I occasionally comment on stuff. And I'm on LinkedIn, Ian Grant. I work for Veeam. Those are my usual places.
Awesome. And I think we're following each other on Blue Sky already.
We are. Yeah. I need to post something there now. I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
I think I'll follow you, Ian. I'm not sure about Patricia. I'll have to find Patricia.
I don't have one yet.
The usual TOABOA things. I'll find you. Always finds me.
Oh, Birmingham City have equalized. Thank God for that.
All right, Tom, your turn. Where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I'm Tom F at sfba.social, and you can find me later on in the sitting room studying my mass.
Both of them. Yes. Awesome. All right, and Patrice, how about you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays, so tomorrow as well. Next week I'm traveling, so next week I'll be out probably, or maybe I'll do the Big Show, we'll see. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, all of that on my website, thepatrice.com takes you there. And Jeff and I have a really cool show, and since we mentioned at the beginning, yeah, we can't really tell anybody anything about, or Jeff at least can't tell anything about not watching a retro show, because he has not seen Stargate, or had not seen Stargate SG-1 until recently. We're rewatching Stargate SG-1, mm-hmm. and I have to do some editing today, but tomorrow, Season 2, Episode 1 should be out. So that is a promise. And I also want to mention BritishTechNetwork.com on Blue Sky as of yesterday, because I finally fixed the crap Blue Sky shit that they do. It works now. So we have a handle, BritishTechNetwork.com on Blue Sky. That's for us. We're also on Mastodon at BritishTech at TechHangout.social if you want to follow us there. We're not, as far as I know, any longer on Twitter or anywhere else. BritishTechNetwork.com. BritishTechNetwork.com or BritishTech@gmail.com, I think, is the email address still working. So if you want to follow us.
Patrice, I'm a lazy bugger. Could you put a link in the
I can, and I will in a second.
Thank you.
I'll do that.
All right. So while Patrice does that, I'm Jay Gammon on all the socials, and I am active right now on Mastodon. And getting a little bit better at Blue Sky. And I am working on phasing myself off of Instagram for a whole slew of reasons. And I'm moving over to PixelFed. So you can find me as Jay Gammon on PixelFed.social now, too.
Good service.
I'm liking it. And I'm liking that the services that I'm settling on are all services where there's currently no company that is trying to wall you into just that one service. Yeah, so that's pretty nice. All right, then shows. Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS, here on the British Tech Network for the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, and as Patrice has pointed out, we're doing Retro Rewatch. And I do want to point out that that this very exclusive mug that only Patrice and I have,
mm-hmm.
It's true. Things do taste better in a Retro Rewatch mug.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a bunch of mugs available, so maybe we'll do a giveaway.
Oh, yeah, we could. Yeah. All right, so with that, it's really time to wrap up. So thank you to everyone that has been here, joined in with us today, whether you're watching or listening live, it doesn't matter. Just glad you're here. Everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of all of this as well. I already said it while Ewan is here, but I'm going to say it again. Ewan, thanks for being you. And Mueller, since you are here, hey, thanks for everything that you do for the British Tech Network. And I'm glad that you're still alive and kicking. And now we have video proof that you are not dead. You're here with us. So that's awesome. Let's see. Hey, Patrice, I don't thank you often enough for all the hard work you've put in behind the scenes to make everything happen here. So you get a shout out today. Thank you for everything you're doing. And with that, I think it's okay now to say, hey, everyone, be sure and join us tomorrow for the Mac Show. And then don't forget to tune in again next week for the big show on Thursday. And yeah, I think that's about it. So everyone, have an awesome weekend. We'll see you tomorrow and again next week.